Amen. Let us all say amen. Salvation has been brought down. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And John, in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, "God demonstrated how much he loved mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died." And so this morning, I want to encourage us and remind us, as ambassadors of Christ, we have an awesome responsibility, and that responsibility is to seek and to save those that are lost. Our responsibility, James chapter 1, round about verse 25 and through 27, James says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from this world." And how do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? And I'm learning the way you do that is what you feed is what you will be led by. And I'm learning the more you feed the Word of God into your everyday life, the more you're able to overcome many of the obstacles that are in our everyday life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is through the studying and the meditation of the Word of God that you and I rise above many of the obstacles that many people face in this world. That's why the psalmist would say, Psalms division 1, verses number 1 and following, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his pleasure, his mindset is where? On the law of the Lord." And he says, and in that law, he meditates. Not when he has nothing better to do, not when it's time, but he meditates day and night. Could you imagine if we did that, what kind of people we would be? Could you imagine if we meditated upon God more than we meditate upon ourselves? Could you imagine what kind of people we would be? How many of y'all meditate so much on your problems that you don't even know you got them? Somewhere down the line, the believer rises above that. Because the believer understands that my life here on earth is just for a passing moment. Would to God we would have the faith and the attitude and the mindset that the early disciples had. They did this based upon a promise. You and I have the promise. And if we have the promise, shouldn't we be totally different than Israel was? Shouldn't we be more motivated and dedicated like Israel should have been? But there, I guess Israel is no different. We're no different than Israel. The same thing that bothered them is the same thing that bothers us. Only different is we got something even more. We got more stuff in the world that hinder us in our everyday life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, "For without faith," verse number 6, "it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So as we talk about this ambassador for Christ, this ambassador is constantly seeking to please God and not himself. I better say that again. A true ambassador is more concerned about pleasing God than he is about pleasing himself. But let's be real. Let's be real. How many of y'all like to please yourself? Every hand in here ought to go up, because sometime late at night, and everybody is asleep and it's quiet, I got to go to the refrigerator to please myself. Rocky Road ice cream. Come on, y'all. Y'all is missing life if y'all don't know how to please yourself. But I'm learning that in pleasing myself, I need to be in harmony in pleasing God. And I don't know about you. I'm like Henry. Sometimes God wakes me up in the middle of the night. Sometimes them bills wake me. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back. Sometimes them bills wake me up. And you know, when they wake me up and they get me to thinking about, oh, man, I got to rob Peter to pay Paul, but Paul ain't got no money. So what am I? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back to sleep for a few minutes. But that's the time I have to draw deeper and deeper in what I believe in. Because if I focus on what I don't have, or focus in on what I need to do other than pleasing God, guess what? My whole day is all messed up. But I'm learning that when I can focus on what thus saith the Lord, don't have to worry about anything. You know why? Because he reminds me that he owns the hills of 1,000 cattle. He said, if I was hungry, I don't have to tell you why. The world belongs to me. And he calls me his child, his son. He calls me a royal priesthood. What should I worry about? Absolutely nothing. And you know what? I'm not even worried about making heaven my home. You know why? I have some guarantees. If I walk in the light as he's in the light, I have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, it cleanses me from all my sins and iniquity. But if I say I don't have no sin, John said, you a liar, and the truth ain't in you. You ever told a lie? Everybody ought to say, yeah. Because if you're not telling the truth, you are telling a lie. But this morning, I want to encourage us as we look at this text once again. And you know, and the more I look at this text, boy, the more I see I've fallen short of the glory of God. The more I look at, y'all might not have this problem. Y'all might be perfect. Stay on that side, though. Because I fall short, church. And I don't know about you. I like my religion to be real. You know why? Because in those wee-wee moments, when you can't help me, when they can't help me, I got to have some assurance that somebody's going to be there for me. Amen. And that's what God said. Jesus said, I never leave you, nor would I forsake you. And he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he was with Israel then, guess what? He's withstand in 2019. And when I stand in need, I don't have to call you. I call Abba, Father. And you know what? He says he hears me. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to draw your attention to this lesson text that we have been working on since January. Powerful passage of scripture. And I challenge each and every one of us to go back and really take time and read what Paul is saying to the church here at Corinth. Corinthians was a very hostile place. It was a very bad place, and they had lots of problems. But one thing I've noticed about Paul in addressing them, he called them brethren. He called them saints, even though they were having all of these problems. Boy sleeping with his father's wife, and the church is puffed up because they know, oh, yeah, look at what he doing. No, Paul said, you ought to be mourning. You ought to get that individual from among you. And then Paul raises a question. Is there not one among you that can think spiritually? And so this morning, as we look at this text, I want to encourage you and remind you, church, we're in a battle. And that battle is not with one another. The battle we're in is a spiritual battle. And the one you feed really is the one that takes control. And I'm learning that when you sow to the flesh, Romans chapter 8, of the flesh is what you're going to be. But he who soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. And so Paul here, as he writes these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't think we really understand what that means. That in difficult times, I know God has my back. Don't worry about the world, because I know God is there. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then Paul reminds us that if we're in Christ Jesus, there ought to be something new about us, because Christ loves us so much. The love of Christ guides me. It directs me. Look at what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at around about verse number 14. Paul says, for the love of Christ constrains me, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. And that if he died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know what Paul is saying here? Because you went in that watery grave. You know, you remember that watery grave? You know, remember this? Paul says, because you went in here, you were willing to die to your old self. Now that you've been resurrected out of here, your life don't belong to you. Who told you you can come when you feel like it? Who told you you can have any kind of attitude you want to have up in here? Huh? Who told you? Because Paul says now your life don't belong to you. You've been bought with a price. What price did he pay? He died on the cross to reconcile us back to God. And then we got the audacity with a straight face to call ourselves Christ-like. Let that sink in. Amen, Walt. That didn't cost you nothing. That ain't part of my lesson either. But verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. One translation says, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why I don't beat myself with what I didn't do yesterday. If I messed up yesterday, I fess up and say, Lord, forgive me. If I mess up with you, I definitely want to say, forgive me, because I know good and well there's a judgment coming. And when I stand before that judgment seat, I don't want your blood on my hands. I got enough of my own. I want to stand before him and hear, well done, stand, come on in. I don't want to hear, depart. I don't know you. Look, well, Lord, didn't I in your name? And in your name, didn't I do all of these works? You know, I was here 24/7 when most of the folk were at home sleep, playing around. He going to say, depart. You know why? I didn't do it according to what he commanded me to do. And so Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us by himself, by Jesus Christ, and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Church, we have been saved to save this world. Amen. Amen. You know, we're so busy worried about everything else. Do you not know that the vocation we have is but one, to go out and duplicate ourselves? And every time you fail to do that, you just put another nail in the hands of Christ. Why? Because he's committed reconciliation to those that have went in this watery grave. That's why we need to understand something. When you understand who you are and what God has commanded you to do, it ain't about you no more. Oh, no, it's about kingdom business. And what's something about kingdom business? It comes first and foremost. Scale of 1 to 10. Where is he at, really? You know, and these are questions you got to ask yourself every single day. Because some days I get up and I don't even want him to be number one. Oh, don't look at me funny. You know you the same way, you know. Back hurt, feet hurt, head hurt, everything hurt. You don't want to be bothered with you, let alone anybody else. Amen, somebody. But that's when the child of God rises above that. That child of God understands no matter what condition that I'm in, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to do his will. Why? Because he's the author of eternal salvation. He's the author and the finisher. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. God has saved you and I to reconcile this old world back to him. It's going to be a sad commentary when we stand before the Lord and he says, I don't know you. And I don't know about you. Those are words that I definitely don't want to hear. So while I'm on this time side of life, while the blood is flowing in my veins, I want to take the time and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do it in a way that God gets all the glory. Now, verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. And though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And verse 21 is something I don't think we don't understand. Because the God of heaven took the time to look down the corridor of time to 2019. And he says, I made the very best. I made myself sin for you. Yeah, let that soak in. He made himself sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's a very powerful statement there. To know that the God of heaven was willing to make himself sin to reconcile you and I back to the Father. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I have a little message for you here. The four L's of an ambassador, okay? The four L's of an ambassador. First and foremost, the first L, he loves the Lord. Oh, yeah. I'm learning that when you really love the Lord, you don't have no problem with me. I better say that again. When you really love the Lord, You don't have no problem with me, and I don't have no problem with you. I don't backsleep some of y'all, but I'm trying to show us that when we really love the Lord, you know what? There's not a thing in the world that'll hinder us in our Christian walk. But I'm learning that when we really love God, boy, you can walk on me like a doormat. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to encourage you. You know why? Because you're made in the image of God. Amen. John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12. See, when you really love the Lord, there are some things you do. He says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend." Jesus says, "You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you." I'm learning that when we really love the Lord, man, when it's time to do kingdom business, nothing or no one can stop you. Why? Because when you love somebody, husbands, do you love your wives? Huh? Y'all talk, y'all act like, yeah, we'll be, I need to give a little more confidence than that. Amen. I love my wife, and we will talk about it if you want to mess with her. So when you really love something, don't you cherish it? Don't you nourish it? Aren't you willing to lay down your life for that? Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says to the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So that tells me that when you really love something, you're willing to lay down your life for that individual. Wives, do you love your husbands? Huh? I can barely hear y'all too, okay. And you're willing to lay down your life. You're willing to do whatever it takes that harmony may exist. John chapter 13 and round about verse 34. When you really love the Lord, you will do what he commands you to do, and nothing or no one can hinder you in the process. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I've loved you, that you love one another also. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And I'm learning that when you love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, boy, you'll love your neighbor just like yourself. And guess what? It'll be evident to those that you come in contact with. Next L, not only do you love the Lord, you lean on the Lord. I don't know about you. I've learned to lean on God because there's some things I just cannot answer. And there are some things in my life that I cannot understand, but I'm learning that if I lean on God, God will take care of everything. Amen. You ever tried to do something and mess it up? Can I get one witness? And then when you mess it up, what's the first thing out your mouth? Oh, Lord, help me. No. I'm learning before I mess it up to consult the man that can take care of everything. And I'm learning that when you do that, church, you don't have half the problems that you have in your everyday life. But see, you got to learn to lean on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And guess what he'll do? He'll direct your path. I'm learning that when I trust God, he takes care of everything else. He said, if I do his will, he'll even make my enemies be at peace. And Christians don't have them, do they? Amen, Walls. See, I've learned that when I lean on the Lord and when I do what he requires me to do, I can lean on him, and he has assured me that everything is going to be all right. And you know how he's assured me? He's given something to help me to lean on him. John chapter 13, chapter 16 and round about 13, the Bible says, "Howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things are of the Father that are mine. Therefore say I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." See, God gave us his Holy Spirit that in the midst of our trials and tribulations, if we lean on him, he'll make everything all right. You ever had a problem where you didn't know how to solve it? And first thing you start to do is say, well, I got to figure this out. No, no, I've learned that when I have problems, Father, help me. Amen. And I've learned to ask him for help. And you know something? He sends help. Might be Henry. Might be Jeremiah. It might be Nicholas to say, Grandpa, you need to do better than what you're doing. Amen. See, I've learned that even out of the child's mouth, wisdom can come. But see, that requires an individual to lean on the Lord and to trust the Lord. See, I'm learning that when we really lean on the Lord, there's something that transpires in our everyday life. What really transpires is when we lean on the Lord, we become just like little babies. Let me show you what I'm talking about. 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming unto him as a lively stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God, and is precious, ye are also lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, when we really lean on God, guess what? We're just like that baby that comes out of the womb. That baby, it looks for nourishment. That baby looks for someone to take care of him. And when he cries, that baby expects you to get up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And you have to be ready to take care of him. Amen. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care what time you got to go to work. You got to get up and take care of that need. That's the mindset we ought to have as Christians. Every morning we wake up, we ought to be so thirsty to talk to the Lord. I can't even get a cup of coffee before I talk to you. And then before I eat, I got to pray and ask him to guide me through the day. I'm guilty. I don't know about you. I'm guilty. But as a newborn babe in Christ, and see, and I'm learning, you can be in this thing 30, 40 years and still be a baby. Mm-hmm. Amen. Want to encourage you. Learn to lean upon the Lord. And I'm learning that when you lean upon the Lord, guess what? You learn from the Lord. Oh, yeah, I've learned how to love folk. Amen. I've learned how to love folk that are unlovable. Anybody know any of the folks like that? Oh, yeah. I know some folks that are unlovable. No matter, you can give them everything in the world. They still the same. But I'm learning that when I learn from the Lord, then you know what? I learn a different mindset. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. See, I'm learning that when God calls us into service, nothing ought to stop us. We ought to be like those individuals that when Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and he called them into play, they left everything. You look at them funny. Matthew chapter 4. And round about verse number 18, the Bible says, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20 says, and they straightway. You have to think about whether you come in Sunday morning. I know you have to think about Wednesday. Amen. Walk. I know what I'm talking about. But the Bible said, and straightway they left their nets and they followed him. He goes on from hence and saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship, their father, and they followed him. Don't miss that. You might need to highlight that. Because when it's time for me to do kingdom business, Sister Harmon will tell you, I will leave you in a minute. Amen. Why? Because God's more important. Yes, he is. because he has eternal life. Sister Harmon can only take me to the grave. I need somebody that can take me beyond the grave. Now, don't misunderstand that. I love her and I'll do whatever but I need somebody that when I close these eyes, I can close them in peace. And I know the only person that can do that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Jesus called them into play, they left everything. So what do I need to learn from Jesus? I need to learn how to really follow him without any distractions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What do I learn from Jesus? I learned that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished for all good works. See, I've learned from Jesus. And I've learned that if I'm really going to follow him, I have to do what he commands me, and I have to be just like him. Amen. And you know, and we say, well, that's hard to do. No, it ain't. You know why it's hard? You just don't want to do it. Amen. Why is it people that won't be like Magic Johnson? And some of them get to be better than him. You can do whatever you want to do. The question is, where's your mindset? I'm learning if I really want to follow Jesus, I got to follow him and learn how to be like him. That's why Paul would say, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The Bible said, and God has highly exalted him and had given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, if you don't bow now, I guarantee you one day you will. Amen. And I want to encourage you. You need to learn from the Lord. And I'm learning that when you learn from the Lord, guess what? You become a leader. You become an ambassador. See, a leader for the Lord is an individual that understands he's been called out of darkness into a marvelous light. This individual understands that he's an ambassador, and as an ambassador, he's ready to do the will of the Father. He leads, he's a leader for the Lord, but he also understands he's a teacher to everybody he come in contact with. That's right, we have an awesome responsibility. And I don't know about you, on a grayscale, I might have a C. How many of us got an F? Oh, see, we understand that terminology because, see, in order for you to really make that A, you got to be doing something more than just sitting in the premises and standing on the premises. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As a leader for the Lord, I've learned to teach others. But I've learned first and foremost to equip myself to teach others. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. The Bible says, and a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledging of the truth, and they may escape themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Do you not know that you only serve one or two people? You either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. And if we really stop and analyze who we really serve, would it really be the Lord? Or would it really be our own desire? And you know, and a lot of times our desire is a desire that Satan really wants us to have. But I'm learning that when you are a leader and an ambassador of the Lord, there are certain things you do in your everyday life. In 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Do you not know as ambassadors, we should not allow the world to dictate to us? Amen. But the world does. That thing on the wall back there, That, look at that thing on the wall back there. Turn around, look at that thing on the wall back there. Everybody, look at that thing on the wall. You know what thing I'm talking about, don't you? It dictates to us every single day of our life. It even dictates to us how we're going to worship God, when we're going to worship God, and it also dictates whether or not I got the time to worship Him. Ought not to be so as believers. As believers, nothing ever should ever dictate to us, because that thing on the wall does not have any say-so when it's time to close your eyes. I'm learning that that thing on the wall there, it can be good, it can be bad. But the child of God must understand that as children of God, we must not get entangled in the world. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in being on time. I believe in doing things on time. But I'm also learning that I got to give God the time that's due Him. Because if you don't give Him the time that's due Him, guess what? Satan will make you think it's all right. You know, read that verse of the day and go on about your business. You all right. God understands. Yeah, He does understand. He understands that you might not really be serving Him the way you're supposed to. I want to encourage us and remind us. Paul tells Timothy, don't get caught up. You have been chosen. Verse number 5 says, and if any man strive also for mastery, he is not crowned it, except he strive lawfully, unless he follows what thus saith the Lord. He can't even begin to do what God says. And finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and round about verse 12, listen to these words that Paul tells this young gospel preacher. Now that you are ambassadors for Christ, now that we are leaders of the Most High God, there's an attitude, that is a mindset that each and every one of us must have. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, these things I command you, and teach. That's right. I'm learning that my responsibility is to teach you, of what thus says the Lord. And I'm learning it just cannot be words. Amen. I'm learning it has to be an example. That's right. Amen. And I'm learning, and I learned that a long time ago, that as a child of God, it's the life that we live that really teach people about Jesus Christ. You know, and then when we open our mouth, like I've always said, we blow people away because they just don't understand us. Paul says in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on hands of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, that thy lifestyle may be apparent to everyone you come in contact with. Verse 16, Paul says, take heed to you. And I'm learning. I can see you all day long, but I got to look at me. Paul says, take heed to yourself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear you. Conclusion, an ambassador for Christ is always, always ready. Amen. How about you this morning? As an ambassador of Christ, are you ready to turn the world upside down? That ought to be our mindset. That ought to be our attitude. Our attitude ought to be that when we come here, that I have but one purpose. And that's to give God the very best I have to offer. So therefore, my mindset is ready to praise Him. Everything I say and do, I'm ready to give Him the very best. Why? Because He sent the best for me. And if He sent the best for me, I know I can never repay Him. But shouldn't I have a mindset that I'm going to try my best? Huh? Isn't that how we do our bill collectors? Come on, y'all. Y'all looking at me funny. You got all these credit cards and it's up to here. Maybe not y'all, but anyway. don't you have the mindset that you want to repay what you have gotten? Church, we all have forgiveness of sin. We know we can't pay God back, but our lives ought to be lived in such a way that men, women, boys, and girls are drawn to the cross by our example of life. I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ. You are a chosen generation. Amen. And the generation we live in and the ones before us and after us, they were all chosen that obeyed from the heart the gospel. We have been chosen for a purpose. That purpose is to change the world in which we live in. And I want to encourage you that as this week starts to unfold, stop and think about it. If I'm an ambassador, am I making a difference first and foremost in my household? Am I making a difference in my neighborhood? And then am I making a difference with everyone I come in contact with? And if you're falling short of that, just repent. Get on the right track. It's just that simple. Those that might be visiting that are not part of the body of Christ, you've heard the gospel, want to encourage you to obey from the heart the gospel. We'll bury you in water and you leave here as a child of the Most High God. And you know what? He gives you the same spirit that he's given me. And that spirit is guide us, it directs us, and it helps us to stay on track. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known. Together we stand and sing.